Ownership. This is what we think of when we think of Brandon, right? Out on the prairie, Brandon the cows, you know. Hopefully, when God brands you, it won't hurt like that. You know, when God brands us, He brands us on our heart. And Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, the letter to the Ephesians, is going to help us understand who we are, who we belong to. We've been branded. God has His seal of ownership on us or in us. You know, at the camp out last weekend, we had 15 people get baptized, which was unbelievable. It was awesome. Dunked them down a little creek. And, you know, those people, they are branded by God, not because they got baptized. They were branded before they got baptized. Baptism simply shows the world what's already happened in here. If you're a Christian, listen to me, you belong to God and you've been branded on your heart that you belong to God. And through the book of Ephesians, over the next 6 weeks, we're going to learn who we are as Christians, which is important. It's critical that we understand and have a good understanding of who we are and what we have as Christians. Otherwise, we won't live the life that God wants us to live. We simply won't. If you don't grasp what we're going to learn in Ephesians over the next 6 weeks, you won't understand it. Let's watch a real quick clip here. Because we're going to talk about chosen. Chapter 1, I kind of call it chosen. That you and I have been chosen by God. And this kind of epitomizes what it means to be chosen. Just a real quick clip.
Has made their decision. The winner of American Idol 2002 is... Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah. She was chosen. America chose her, and it changed her life, didn't it? Changed her life. It changed my life. It did. This morning, I kid you not, I don't know what channel. I just turned it to the channel that I know is going to be loud in the morning. I turned it to some channel, and this morning I woke up to some girl singing. I just lay there thinking, who is this girl? It was Kelly Clarkson. She changed my life today. Being chosen makes all the difference in the world. Being chosen will change your life. And you're going to understand tonight that you and I, we've been chosen. And what we like to do, what I like to do, is we're going to go through the whole book of Ephesians, all six chapters. Let's do a little background on Ephesians, okay? Let's look at Ephesians. A little background, real quick. We're just going to fly through this. The author is the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul wrote this, and you got to understand something. The Apostle Paul didn't sit down. Actually, he was in jail when he wrote this. He was in Rome, in prison. He didn't just sit down and go, hey, I think I'll write a book today. A book that'll go right after Galatians. That'll be good. I'm going to write a book. So he got his pen and pencil out, and after he got done, he slid it between Galatians. Now, he didn't write a book at all. He wasn't thinking book. What Paul wrote, this book of Ephesians, is really a letter. Like, I got this letter today in the mail. Paul sat down to write a letter to a church. It'd be like if someone wrote me this letter and said, hey, Bill, I'd like you to read this to the Rock Church in Salt Lake City. That's what Paul did. He wrote a letter. A letter, you guys know letters? It's an email that you print out. Okay, that's letter. And then you put it in an envelope and send it. That's what Paul did. He didn't send it, though. He handed it to somebody, and they walked it to Ephesians. There's a city called Ephesians. We'll talk about that in a second. But he wrote a letter to encourage the church that he started years before. Paul wrote it. It says in verse 1 and 2, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus. The city was called Ephesus. The faithful in Christ Jesus. He called the Christians there saints. Now, isn't that reserved for people that are really, really, really good, and then they die and people say you're a saint? No. You, if you are a Christian, are a saint. Paul says to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful. It's synonymous with Christian, with believer, with disciple. A saint is a Christian, someone who's placed their faith in Christ. Paul says, grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is his salutation in the letter. That's how they started letters back then. Paul was a classic salutation to the church in Ephesus. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something right now. There is no peace if there's no grace. If you're in a religion that is graceless, there will be no peace in your heart. You won't find it. You'll be restless. You'll be uptight. You'll be anxious. There is no peace if there's not grace. And that's true in your relationships, with your friends, with your family. If there is no grace, there won't be peace there. And this is how Paul starts the letter. He says he's an apostle. The word apostle simply means sent one. Paul says, I'm an apostle. I'm sent out by God. He was chosen for a specific purpose to go on missionary journeys and encourage the saints, encourage the Christians. Again, it was written from prison in Rome. He wrote the letter in prison while he was in Rome. He wrote four books or four letters to four different churches that are now books in our Bible from that same prison cell. He was productive. You know, I'd probably been whining about the food. He was writing scripture. And he was excited. It's so cool. In Ephesians, if you read, and I wish we had time just to read through the chapter really quick. There's just 23 verses. But verses 3 through 14 in the Greek is one long run-on sentence. I mean, it just, Paul, if you just read it just straight through, you just get this idea that Paul is, he's just out of his mind excited about what he's sharing here. And he is. And it's a 3 through 14. It's just one long sentence. You can't shut him up. He just kind of talks. He's so excited about something. He's so excited about the truths that he's sharing with this church and that we're going to study and learn about tonight over the next 6 weeks. What about the recipients? He sent it to the city of Ephesus. I'll just give you a little idea of where that's at. That's in western Turkey. It was established in about 1100 BC. 1100 years before Jesus was born, this city was thriving on the western part of Turkey, modern-day Turkey. And let me blow this up for you so you can see a better picture of it. Ephesus on the coast. It's a coastal city. At this time, historians tell us that it was a political, commercial, and religious center of Asia Minor. It was a huge port city. It was a city that when they wanted to go to the Orient, they came through Ephesus. So a lot of boats came through Ephesus. It was a huge, rich, wealthy, political, and commercial, and religious center of Asia at that point, 1100 AD. It was also a center for religious occult activity and a lot of sexual immorality, as we'll see in a second. You can see the god Artemis or the god Diana. It's the same god that was the fertility god or the sex god that they worshipped in that amphitheater is where they would worship this god. And you can read in Acts chapter 18 and 19. Remember the riot that happened in Ephesus where the people started chanting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" And Paul started this huge riot basically. And these people chanted for 2 or 3 hours straight, "Great is Artemis, great is our God." They were known because of this sex god that they worshipped in Ephesus. This is what they're known for. A lot of the Christians that came out of Ephesus had been involved in the occult, in sexual immorality. You know, sounds a lot like our church. A lot of people come from that background. And you know what? It's okay. If God can use the Ephesians, He can use the Rock Church. And He wants to. And there's archaeological digs. You can go to the city today and see all those different things that they've dug up. The church in Ephesus was established during Paul's second missionary journey. And then when Paul came back on his third missionary journey, he stayed there for 3 years and taught the church, built the church up for 3 years. Wouldn't that be great to have the Apostle Paul teach your church for 3 years? A lot of people went to Ephesus. We can read about it again in Acts. A lot of famous Christians, Aquila and Priscilla, were in Ephesus. We know that Apollos and Timothy and John, all the scripture records, went to Ephesus again. A lot of our spiritual roots come from this city. An amazing city that Paul started. Place and the date. From prison is where Paul wrote it again. In Rome, he also wrote the church in Philippi. He wrote Colossians and Philemon as well. Four different epistles Paul wrote. Four letters he wrote from prison. He was waiting trial before Caesar. I just read about that this morning. How Paul was waiting trial. He appealed to Caesar because these Jews wanted to take him back to Jerusalem and kill him. And he appealed to Caesar, and to Caesar he went. Actually, he died before he got to see Caesar. It's written in late 61 AD or about 62 AD, somewhere in there. So about 27, 28, 29 years after Jesus was crucified. So a real short time frame, very short time frame, that Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians, which we're going to study. What we're going to discover is that we are chosen, and that makes all the difference. And I want you to say that second part with me. When I say we're chosen, you say, and that makes all the difference, okay? So we are chosen, and it's all the difference. And it does. It makes all the difference. There's three things we're going to look at, three blessings of being chosen. I've got to go fast because I want to make sure I end on time, okay? Three blessings of being chosen. Let's just pray real quick. God, I just pray that you would open the eyes of our heart, that we would understand the blessing of being chosen. Thank you that we're branded by you, that we belong to you if we're a believer. And if we're not a believer, God, I pray that we would choose you even tonight. I thank you, God, that you want to explain things to us. You want to help us understand this inspired letter to the church in Ephesus. You want us to freshly understand it. You want it to be written to the Rock Church in Salt Lake City, Utah. You want it to be fresh and anointed in our minds and in our hearts. Teach us, we pray, tonight and over the next 6 weeks. Help us understand the blessings of being chosen and the blessing of being branded by you. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Three blessings of being chosen. Here's the first one that I'll just pull out. I pull out three blessings out of these 23 verses. First one is this, that we are selected. Because we're chosen, we've been selected from eternity past. We've been selected from eternity past, and God chose us because He loves us. And this is important to understand. Let's read these verses 3 through 6 in Ephesians chapter 1. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." You know, we could spend the whole 6 weeks just talking about this verse, and I would love to. God says, listen, if you're a believer, you have been blessed in the spiritual realms with a lot of blessing, a whole bunch of blessing. A lot, you know, it's going on. You got tons of blessing. No, you got every spiritual blessing. We don't understand blessing, do we? We don't understand that. You sneeze and you get blessed. What is that all about? I mean, God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We may not understand what it is, but if you're a Christian, you got it. You've been blessed. And I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I'd love to talk more about that. Verse 4, it says, "For He chose us." Did you catch that? "For He chose us in Him." When? "Before the creation of the world. To be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ. In accordance with His pleasure, He was happy to do it. And His will, it was His will to do it. to the praise of His glorious grace. He'll get praise and glory because He chose you before the creation of the earth. Which He has freely given us in the one He loves. God chose us because He loves us. This is not just, listen to me, this is not just some theological study, theological concept that God chose you. You know, we get this idea that it's kind of like when, you know, when people pick sides for basketball teams, they pick the two biggest kids, you know. You go over there, you go over there, everybody else lines up. Start picking kids, and maybe you've been there, maybe you're the last one, and this kid over here, you know, he's kind of looking at everybody, and I don't want to choose anything. But you got to, he's on the line. Oh, kicks the dirt and says, okay, I'll take you. You know, we can think that's the way God is with us. God kind of kicks the dirt and says, ugh, I guess I got to take you. I don't want to, but I got to. God says it was His good pleasure and His will to choose you before the creation of the earth. He was thrilled about it because He loves you. He loves you. I think about being chosen and how it makes me feel. I remember baseball tryouts when I was probably in, I don't know, 5th, 6th, 7th grade. And baseball tryouts, you know, there was a certain team I wanted to be on because one of my friend's dad was a coach. I wanted to be on that. I wanted to get chosen by him. And I remember going to tryouts and going through the whole morning of tryouts, and the coaches would meet afterwards and pick players, and the coach that I wanted to be on his team, he worked night, so he went home and slept all afternoon. I remember playing at my friend's house all afternoon, waiting for him to wake up just to find out, did he choose me? And when he finally woke up and we asked him, did you choose me? He said, yes, I gotcha. And you know what? It gives me confidence. It gave me a joy and happiness, and it made all the difference. Getting chosen makes all the difference. There's no feeling like it. Being chosen. You remember your first date? Some of you probably haven't had a first date yet. I don't know. I remember mine. 5th grade, Tracy Shipler. You know? She was awesome. I remember riding around her. She lived kind of close. So we'd ride around her house and just kind of show off, you know, my bike, and then see her at school and kind of look at her. I remember calling her phone. And I remember I didn't say anything. Literally, I just called her, and I watched TV in my parents' room while we just sat there together, not saying anything. It was so awkward. I didn't know what. What do you do when you call a girl? I don't know. You just call them up. That's what I did. But she was the girl for me, you know, 5th grade. And I remember the day came when back then we gave them rings if we wanted to go steady. 5th grade, I remember on the playground. Would she accept the ring I gave her? And when she did, I want to tell you, my heart was just beating. And I can still remember that feeling. It's weird. That was a long time ago. I can still remember. You know, I asked her, but because she said yes, I was chosen. I was chosen by her, and it made all the difference in my life. A lot of us feel unaccepted, unworthy, insecure before God. Unworthy is a good word. It's a word that a lot of people use around here. You're not worthy. You're not. You got to get worthy. You know, that ruins your relationship with God when you think, oh, I've got to get worthy. Listen to me. You were chosen before any of the stars were created, before any of the water on the earth was created. God chose you before you could do anything. He predestined you to be chosen, to be His, to belong to Him. It wasn't some girl, guy, date thing. It was the God of the universe choosing you. And it makes all the difference in your life. Christians, you should never feel insecure. You should never feel unloved, unappreciated, excited about someone choosing you because the creator of the universe that made everything has chosen you. And He wanted to. And He's excited about it. And He wants you to know how much He loves you. He did it because He loves you. Can you imagine? If, you know, I imagine watching the returns, you know, election night, presidential election. I'm watching the returns and you know, I'm seeing who's winning. I'm kind of excited and listening to the news afterwards and talking about this president that just got elected. And the phone rings and my wife says, hey honey, you're not going to believe it, but it's the president of the United States. I say, what are you talking about? Well, it is, and he wants to talk to you. He's got a special job for you. He's, you know, what am I going to say? Tell him I'm watching the returns. I'm busy right now. Tell him I can't talk to him right now. I got something going on. Or would I say, you know, yes, sir, whatever you want, sir. I mean, the President of the United States calling me with a special mission, choosing me. I think I might give that some thought. I might kick that around a little bit. Because he chose me. I want to tell you something. You and I, we've been chosen by God. And once we realize that and what it means, we'll talk about it, what it means, we will flourish, we will thrive, we will have energy, we'll have excitement, we won't be insecure, and it'll make all the difference because we've been chosen by God. Not only that, but God chose us before we were born. We read that, didn't we? Before the creation of the earth, before you had done anything, good or bad, God chose you, like it said in Psalm 139. Let's read that. It says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, the psalmist talking to God. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book. Listen, all the days ordained for you were written in his book before one of them came to be. And I think what's significant about this is this. God chose you before you are worthy. Do you believe that? Wait a minute, don't I have to straighten my life up? Now I've got to start going to church. And man, I haven't tithed for a long time. I'm sure I'm not worthy. I haven't read my Bible, you know, every single day like I'm supposed to. I'm sure I'm not worthy. God chose you before you had done anything good or bad. Before you were even created in your mother's womb, God says, all your days were ordained and written in a book. What happens when I screw up? He loves you. What happens when I do good? He loves you. He doesn't love you any more or any less because you screw up. Did you hear what I said? Now people, they'll put that worthy, unworthy label on you, but God says, you're my kid. And he picked you and he knew you. And I want to tell you something. My kids, I got four boys. I love them. I love them to death. Why? Because they're worthy? No, I had to clean the room up today because they're gone in Iowa. They're not worthy to do, you know, they mess up all the time. They didn't do a very good job cleaning the room. It was a mess. Do I love them? Do I reject them? No. Why? Because they're mine. They belong to me. They are mine. And I love them. There's nothing they can do. Nothing. To make me not love them. Nothing. Why do we think God's different? Why do we think God's different? Do you realize he chose you because he wanted to and he loves you and he did it before you could do anything good or bad? He chose you, and what happens? That makes all the... you guys aren't going to follow me here. That makes all the difference. It does. It makes all the difference. Let's look at the second blessing of being chosen. And this is kind of a big one. Here's a blessing. You've been saved from eternal destruction. Hallelujah. That's a good one. I've been saved from eternal destruction because God chose me. And my Creator, the God of the universe, redeemed me. Well, there's kind of a religious word. God redeemed me. Well, let's read the verses here. Ephesians 1, 7 through 10. In Him, we have redemption. In Him, we have redemption through His blood. Not through your good works, not through being worthy, not through tithing, not through going to church, not through doing anything. You have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. In accordance with the riches of God's grace. Listen, when you think of redemption, you've got to think of a cost, purchase. And I want to tell you something. It says, according to the riches of His grace, how rich is God? He's pretty rich. And when He redeems something, He can afford it. It says, we've been redeemed, verse 8, that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He knew what He was doing, folks, when He redeemed you. And He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ. Again, He was pleased to do it and is right in line with His will to choose you. Verse 10, to be put in effect when the times that will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. You've been redeemed, which means you've been saved from eternal destruction. Let me give you an illustration because it's so hard. It's so hard to describe what's it mean to be redeemed. Let me give you a simple illustration. And it's a simple illustration, but you will lock into a human illustration way more than some theological rampage, okay? Just let me give you a little illustration about what it means to be redeemed. Now think of a little boy. A little boy who has been dreaming about creating something. This little boy has got this idea in his mind to make a boat that'll sail on the water. And he thinks about it, and he thinks about it, and he dreams about it, and he gets excited about it, he gets the materials together, and he creates this boat, a little sailboat, and he works on it for weeks and months, and polishes it, and sands it, and puts a sail on it, and finally takes it out to the lake, and sails it, and he gets so much pleasure from this boat, he's so excited. It's a wonderful boat. And every day he takes it out, and takes it out, and enjoys this boat. Until one day a gust of wind comes and takes that boat and just blows it away from where he can't reach it. It's out of his grasp. And the boat keeps going. He chases the boat. He can't catch up to it. And the boat is gone. And the little boy is crushed. And he's crying. And he's emotional. He lost his boat. Just a little boy. Lost his boat. Weeks later, he's still upset about this boat. Can't stop thinking about it. He wants that boat back. And he's walking downtown. Think of little Mayberry. He's walking downtown. He walks past this toy store. And what's he see in the window right there? His boat. He sees his boat. He goes, my boat. It's right there. And that's my boat. And he runs in the store. And he goes to the store. And he says, that's my boat. You found my boat. It's right there. I made that. That's my special boat. Right there. That's mine. And the store owner says, no, it's mine. It's mine. You can't have it. He says, it's mine. I made it. He says, no, it's mine. You lost it. Now it's rightfully mine. And the only way you can get it back is to pay for it. And here's the price. And the little boy says, oh, I don't know if I can afford that. And the little boy goes out and gets all his money and sells a bunch of his possessions, does everything in his power to finally get enough money, takes the money into the store owner and says, here's the money. I want that boat back. And he gets his boat back. And his boat has been redeemed. Listen, Christian, you and I were created by a God who foreknew us, who predestined us, who thought about us, and He created us in our mother's womb, and He loved us, and the winds of sin and rebellion blew through our lives and pushed us away from Him and broke His heart. And Satan rightfully owned us because of our rebellion. And there's a price on our head. And God paid the ultimate price by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to redeem you and me back from the devil. And when Jesus died, it says in Revelation that He purchased men with His blood. He purchased you and I with His blood, not with money. But with His blood, He redeemed you, and now you are back, and you belong to God. That's what it means to be redeemed. And if you're redeemed, you are not going to be punished forever for your sins. God has saved you from that. And I want to tell you something. Sometimes we can think, again, God just kind of goes, I'll take you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and whoever. Come on, yeah, I guess you die. God did not cheaply choose you. He did not cheaply choose any of you. He bought you with His blood. He purchased men from every tribe and tongue and nation with His blood. And it cost Him everything He had. But He was pleased to do it as we've been reading. We've been bought with a price, it says in 1 Corinthians 6. We've been bought with a price. Isn't that good to know? Listen, you and I have been chosen, and that makes all the difference. Here's the third. Well, here's another point here. Your Creator predestined you, real quickly. Predestined you. Ephesians 1:11 through 13a says, in Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan, Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. We've been predestined, whatever that means, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. And you also. And you also. Paul, remember, this is a letter to this church, and you also. I can say to you also, church. You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. What do you think of when you think of predestined? Predestined, that big, I think of seminary students arguing, okay? That's what I think of. Predestined. Let's talk about predestination. I don't want to talk about that. We fight all the time. No, let's talk about it. Is it predestined? Are we chosen? Are we the free will? I don't know. Well, let's just talk about it. No, we always argue. Well, let's lamp the people who believe in predestination. Let's lamp the ones that talk about free will. You just get in arguments all the time. You talk about predestination, free will. Listen, predestination is very simple. All it means is this, that God foreknew. Romans 8 talks about predestined, or God foreknew you. He foreknew you. 1 Peter 2, God foreknew. He foreknows the future. He planned it out way ahead of time. In other words, that's all predestined means. That God foreknew. Listen, I predestine proposing to my wife about 18 years ago. I foreknew, man. I couldn't think of anything else. I had a little calendar I wrote out in my Bible. I had a little calendar with dates marking off when the day I was going to finally propose to her. I thought about how I was going to do it, what restaurant I was going to go to, what flowers I was going to, how I was going to make it, how it was all going to be. I predestined that. I foreknew that. I thought it through. Listen, God says He foreknew you. The choosing of you. He knew that you were going to become a Christian. He foreknew that. He saw it coming. He planned it out. Now you chose, yes, but God foreknew it. He understood that. That's all it means. It's very simple. So you and I, we've got blessings because we're chosen. First ones, we've been selected. We've been chosen from eternity past. We've been saved from eternal destruction. And thirdly, we have been sealed for eternity future. And again, I think in this culture there can be a little confusion about seal. This isn't the kind of sealing that we hear about or read about in the culture here. This is a different kind of sealing, but sealing nonetheless. Sealed for the future. Let's read in Ephesians 1:13b and 14 says this, having believed, past tense, having believed what? The gospel. We just read that in the first part of verse 13. Having believed the gospel of your salvation, the good news of Jesus Christ, having believed, once you believe, something happens to you. What happens? Well, let's look. Having believed, you are marked in Him with a seal. The promised Holy Spirit. A seal. You've been marked with Him. I think of those, you know, the king when he writes a letter and he puts wax on it and seals it and pulls it up. I think of a seal that way. God says, having believed, you're not sealed unless you believe. You can't believe unless you hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Once you hear the gospel, then you believe it, you get sealed. You get marked. You get branded with the Holy Spirit. That's what it says. And not only that, the Holy Spirit, it says in verse 14, is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glorious grace. Again, verse 3 through 14 was one long sentence. One sentence. Paul just going off, concluding with, to the praise of His glorious grace. All these things he's so excited about. Having believed, you are marked with Him. In Him. Having believed, you are marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Once you believe, Christian, once you believe the good news of Jesus Christ, that you're a sinner, that He died on the cross to pay for your sins, otherwise you'd go to hell. Once you believe that and receive that free gift of eternal life, having believed that, you get marked. If you haven't believed that, you haven't been marked, and you are on your way to hell. That's the only other choice. Listen, I picked up a piece of paper a while back, and it said, what do you need to do to go to hell? It was a little folded piece of paper, like a tract. What do you need to do to go to hell? I opened it up, and it was blank. You don't need to do anything to go to hell. You're going. Everyone on earth is going unless something happens, unless you get sealed by the Holy Spirit. God's done everything in His power to redeem you, even sending His own Son. If you reject His Son, there's no other choice. You're already on your way. You don't belong to God at that point. It's not until you're redeemed, until you receive that free gift. Once you do that, having believed, you get marked with the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit. A deposit. We don't understand deposits too well here. Back in Iowa, where I'm from, we understand it. Because every bottle we buy, we got to put a 5-cent deposit on it. So people are emptying trash cans out and taking them back to get money. You take one of these back, you get a nickel. It's a deposit. You got to buy it. Every time you buy a pop, you got to put 5 cents down for the can or the bottle. A deposit. It's a money-back guarantee that God's going to come get you. The Spirit is inside you. It's sealed inside you. It's a guarantee He's coming back for you. The Spirit is in you as a deposit, guaranteeing that you're going to be in heaven. Are you getting that? It's a deposit. I think of deposits, the pop bottle deposit. I think of, when I was in college, you had to rent VCR. VCRs were new when I was in college. There wasn't such a thing. They were just inventing VCRs when I was in college. It dates me just a little bit. There's no such thing. When you rented a video, you had to rent the machine with it. Nobody had VCRs. That was a ludicrous thing. Anyone would have their own VCR. So you have a little carrying case and you have to put a deposit like for $300 down. You know, we're talking about college students. You know, sure, yeah, I'll write a check for $300. Here you go. Enjoy that check. It's no good whatsoever. But I'll take the VCR, pick one or two, the videos out of the 10 that were on the shelf. That's all they had at that time. We watch those over and over. And when I returned the VCR, I get my check for $300 back. Okay, that's a deposit. It's a guarantee. I'm going to bring that thing back. The Spirit's in you, guaranteeing you're going to go to heaven. Same thing with the house deposit. It's a guarantee that you will leave that house in good shape. The best story about deposit was with my little brother. Well, a deposit is something given as a guarantee. Okay, it's a guarantee. The best story I have is my little brother here. This picture was taken a long time ago, I think 1968. I was 8 years old. My brother was, I guess he would have been 6. You see that? See my little, I can't hardly see it. My little brother there. This is about the age where him and I, we broke a window. We broke one of our windows, and our dad, at that point, we had a little hardware store, Lorenzo's Hardware Store. My dad took the window out and said, "You take this up to Lorenzo's. Here's some money. Lorenzo's will fix the window for you." So my brother and I, about this age, went to Lorenzo's and gave Lorenzo the window and asked him to fix it. So he did. He fixed it. He said, "You owe this much money." We handed him the money we had, and we were short. We didn't have enough money. And this guy, Lorenzo, was not a very nice guy. He was a strict businessman, old guy. And he wasn't about to let us leave that shop without paying for that window. And he said, "Well, you know what?" And he was serious. He said, "You cannot leave. You got to go back and get the money." So we started heading out the door. And he said, "Whoa, wait a minute. Kid you not." He said, "One of you is going to have to stay here. The other one's going to have to go get the money." And my brother looks at me and his lip starts quivering, you know. I said, "You stay here, I'll be right back," you know. And I see teardrops, you know, forming up in his eyes. And there's Lorenzo behind him, you know, and he's standing there. No. So I run out the door and the next day I remembered I forgot my brother at the store. I'm just kidding. You guys, come on. No, man, I ran home and I told my mom, "We need more money," and I got money and I ran back and I redeemed my brother from Lorenzo and we got our window. That's a deposit. God says, "Listen, my Spirit, once you believe, my Spirit lives inside you. I live inside you as a deposit. I guarantee you I'll come get you, but you got to believe." Once you believe, you're going. Guaranteed. Like it or not, you're going. If you don't want to go, I wonder if you've really believed. I wonder if you really have believed. If you have, then the Spirit lives in you. You say, "Well, show me some other verses." Okay, let me show you some other verses here. Ephesians 4:30, which we'll read in 4 weeks, says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, which whom you were," what is it? "Sealed for the day of redemption." There's going to be a day of redemption. You were sealed for that day by the Holy Spirit if you're a Christian. This whole idea of assurance of salvation. Can we be sure that we have salvation? You know, even the very question is, it's ridiculous. It's an anathema. I think God hates that question. Can we be sure? The Spirit's in you guaranteeing your redemption. How more sure can you get? If you go to hell, who goes to hell with you? The Spirit. The third part of the Trinity. God, the Creator, goes to hell? I don't think so. Of course there's assurance of salvation. That's never the question. The question is, are you saved to begin with? That's the question. Once you're saved, you're going. You're on the train. They lock the doors. You're in. You're gone. You're going. Nothing you can do about it. Here's another verse. 2 Corinthians 1:22 says, He anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit. Guaranteeing, there it is again, what is to come? The Spirit's in us as a guarantee. God wants us to be sure of this. Here's another verse. 2 Corinthians 5:5. Now it is God who made us for this very purpose and has given us His Spirit as a what? As a deposit. Guaranteeing what is to come. Christian, do you understand? If you got the Spirit of God in you, it's a guarantee that someday you're going to be standing before God on the day of redemption at the wedding supper of the Lamb. And He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in. My son, the boat that I lost, I've redeemed you. You're mine. He's already paid for you, but there's a day coming where you're going to see Him. He's going to redeem you. So we've been selected, we've been saved, and we've been sealed. This last chunk of verses here is really a prayer. 15 through 23 is a prayer. Paul kind of goes off about all these wonderful blessings we've got, and he just stops and prays for the Ephesian church. And that's how I'm going to end this time tonight. I'm just going to pray these verses for the Rock Church, for us, for you. I prayed for a lot of you this morning. I went through my prayer list, praying for the people in our church this morning. But I want to pray for you again, just using the very words of Paul. They apply to us today. Paul's writing this to a church. You're a church. This applies. Let's pray. Rock Church, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation that you might know Him better. And I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power, that power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. And Rock Church, may God indeed enlighten your heart as you grasp the fact that you have been chosen by Him and are dearly loved by your Father in heaven. And I pray that you'd go from this place and embrace the fact that because you are chosen, you have been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And always remember that since you're blessed, you've been selected and chosen from eternity past. You have been saved from eternal destruction, and you've been sealed for eternity future. You have been chosen, and that does what? You've been chosen, and that does what? Makes all the difference. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Next week, Ephesians chapter 2, Grace Works. Why don't you stand up? We'll sing one last song.